I want to take you to the book of beginnings, Genesis chapter 5 today. I'm going to start there, just talking about an important concept for us to build on what we began talking about on Wednesday evening. There were some who were not able to connect to our Wednesday evening call. Prepared to talk about Revelation chapter 6 and the opening of the seals. We really didn't talk that much about the opening of the seals. What we began to talk about was the rapture. For those of you who don't know, the rapture is that theological concept that says that God will take his believers out of the earth unto himself before the wrath of his judgment is released upon the earth. So we started to talk about the rapture, the significance of the rapture, and really identify those who will be raptured. Having us say, will I be amongst those that are included? And so today I want to kind of pick up on that theme, on that thought, that idea. And I want to talk about walking with God. In Genesis chapter 5, in verse 21, some very interesting words to record. Reads this way. It says, when Enoch had lived 65 years, he became the father of Methuselah. And after he became the father of Methuselah, Enoch walked with God, my Bible says, 300 years. I know we all got different versions these days. I just want to make sure that the version you're reading says the same thing. Does yours say 300 years?
Yes.
Amen. Amen. So no way they could paraphrase or change that, right? 300 years is 300 years. It says, Enoch walked with God 300 years and had other sons and daughters. Altogether, Enoch lived 365 years. Verse 24 says this, Enoch walked with God, then he was no more, because God took him away. Enoch becomes that first picture of a man who walked with God, but yet did not experience death because God took him away. Hold your finger right there and flip over to Hebrews chapter 11. Hebrews chapter 11 is what we normally call the great hall of faith. When Hebrews chapter 11, there's a long list of people that walked with God that were faithful until the end. And in Hebrews chapter 11, again, slip down to verse number 5. It says, by faith, Enoch was taken from this life so that he did not experience death. He could not be found because God had taken him away. For before he was taken, now read these words, he was commended as one who pleased God. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. Genesis chapter 5, verses 21, verse 22 through 23. And then Hebrews chapter 11, verse 5, talks about Enoch not experiencing death, but being taken away. It is made clear to us what has happened. Enoch, in Genesis, what does it say? He walked with God. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. And then in Hebrews, it says that he was commended as one who pleased God. And he He then became an example or a prototype of what happens to those who walk with God and who please God. He did not experience death, but he was taken away. Now that becomes a picture for us of the rapture. But what I really want to talk to us about today is just walking with God.
All right.
Amen?
Amen.
That's important. I paused and asked you about 300 years, you know, whether or not that was the same in your Bible. Because I wanted to make sure that everybody saw the same thing I saw. 300 years. Because you and I know people that can't walk with God for 30 minutes. And Enoch walked with God for 300 years. We know people that can't walk with God for 3 years.
Amen.
Enoch did it for 300 years. It says he was only around for 365 of those years, right? And it says, it talks about this relationship that he maintained with God for 300 years. Some of us get tired of walking with God. Now, listen. I use the expression us. Some folk.
Amen.
I didn't mean to include you in that. Right? Some folk get tired of walking with God. And we don't even know what it's like to live for 300 years, right?
Right.
Most of us, you know, the span is 80, 70. Pastor Carol was giving thanks this morning for her mom, who was, what, 93? Yeah, amen, amen. Queen Elizabeth lived to be what, 96?
Yes.
When you see someone that hits the century mark or go over, it's like, it's a big deal. And we're talking about 300 years? And it's like, and he didn't get tired. And brothers and sisters, what I want you and me to do today is to just relish in the fact and talk to the Spirit of the living God about helping us to not become tired, to not become weary, and walking with Him. Amen?
Yeah.
Realizing that in this life we have troubles. In this life we have stuff that's going on. So many distractions that pull us away that we become weary. And for some reason there are those who choose to stop walking with God. And I don't want to be among those who choose to stop walking with God. Because it says that Enoch walked with God and he was no more because God took him away. And where I want to be at the end of my journey, whether he calls me home or whether he comes back and he blows the trumpet, I want to be taken away with him.
Yes, right.
If I choose to throw in the towel, if I choose to stop walking with him, can I just go ahead and warn you that there is no guarantee? Amen?
Amen.
Okay, all right. I know that's hard. That's hard work. That's hard work. To acknowledge that God is your sovereign Lord, that he is your life. To hold fast to his promises, walk closely with him is what God desires.
Amen.
What Jesus did was open up a way so that men and women could be reconciled back to the Father through him. Jesus said, "This is eternal life, that you may know the Father." He wants us to be in relationship with him. A few weeks ago, Minister Diane preached a message. She talked about make your life a prayer. And she paused in that message. She was talking about communication. She paused in that message and she started talking about relationship. The point of emphasis was this, is that God desires relationship with you and me, his creation.
Yes.
And she was talking about how relationship looks like dialoguing with him. That's what prayer is. You and I have the opportunity to talk to the living God, and believe it or not, he talks back to you. Amen?
And it's through relationship that he communicates and he communes, and that's what it was about. It was about relationship. God created Adam, and he placed him in the garden, and it says that he would walk with Adam in the cool of the day. That God was not isolated from Adam. It was only when Adam and Eve allowed sin to enter into their experience that God said, make me invoke the other part of my plan. He said, you cannot live in this condition when you are walking in disobedience and where you've now fallen from the perfection in which I created you. I can't let you eat from the tree of life and remain like this. So I've got to move you from the place where I had you, but I won't abandon you. And so he walked with them and he talked with them on a regular basis. Why? Because that was his desire. Jesus came through the Virgin Mary. The Bible says at the appointed time, Jesus came to fulfill the purpose which the Father had made. And when Jesus came and he grew up and he began his public ministry, he did this. Come. Follow me. As if he wanted them to say, come, walk with me. Amen? You do know that Jesus was Emmanuel, God with us. He's fully man, but fully God. And when he said to those disciples, come, walk with me, he was extending an invitation to restore the very thing that God had begun. He said, if you walk with me, I'll make you fishers of men. I help you understand why you've been created. I help you understand your purposes. I help you understand that when you were born, that it was for such a time like this, that you were created to be ministers of reconciliation, helping men and women understand that they are to be in relationship with God. But the only way you can really do that is if you are walking with God yourself. So he says, come, walk with me. And then when he left, he sent his spirit to live in us so that we are always with him. Amen. Brothers and sisters, one of his greatest desires, one of God's greatest desires, one of Jesus' greatest desires, one of the greatest desires of the Holy Spirit is for us to walk with God, not just for a moment, but for a lifetime. Amen? And what he promises is that if you will walk with him for a lifetime, you will not be disappointed, that your investment in giving your life to him will not come up on the short end, but that you will win. In fact, as he was preparing to leave in John chapter 14, his disciples began to get discouraged, and he said, do not let your hearts be troubled. Put your trust in God, and also put your trust in me. He said, my Father is preparing a place for you. Why? Because you have walked with me. When you walk with God, God prepares a place for you. Ooh, that's good preaching, huh?
Yeah.
That's good preaching. Amen. Oh, I'm not amen to me. I'm just amen to what the Holy Spirit dropped in.
Yeah.
Right? Amen. When you walk with God, God don't leave you hanging. Don't you know that you can be God-given? No matter how hard you try, we like to apply that to giving. We like to think about money. Can I just tell you, you can't be God-given. You can't be God-given love. Try to outlove God. Every time you try to outlove him, he's going to one-up you. Because God refuses to be outdone. Amen. Love him hard and see what he does in return. He loves you hard. Psalm 91 talks about where he says, because you love me, I will be with you. I will protect you. I will rescue you. I will deliver you. I will restore you. And I will show you my salvation. Man, I love God. The more you give, the more he gives to you. God is saying, walk with me, and you will indeed become what I've called you and created you to be. Amen? To walk with him. To walk with him. I know, I was thinking this. So what does that look like, walking with God? Show you what the disciples were. What that looks like. They followed Jesus and they started to walk with him. But if you and I were to get really, really practical about what it means to walk with God, it means, first of all, to walk in fellowship with him. To walk in relationship with him. There's no way of walking in fellowship or relationship with God unless you know him through the person of Jesus Christ. John 14:6 says that Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through him. You can't walk with God unless you come through Jesus Christ. You got to come through Jesus Christ in order to be able to walk with God. Amen? So first it is walking with him in relationship, in fellowship, but relationship through the person of Jesus Christ. Amen? That's the first place. You know, people these days, this is why this is important. People these days want to choose how they walk with God. Here's the problem. You cannot establish the rules for the creator of the games. Amen? He's the creator. He established and set the rules. He said, this is the way it shall be. If you want to get to me, you got to come through my son, Jesus Christ. Hebrews chapter 1 says, in the past, God spoke to folks through the prophets in various ways, but he says in these last days, he's talking one primary way, and that is through his son, Jesus Christ. And if anybody tries to bypass Jesus, you need to let them go on by. Amen?
Amen?
If they come to you preaching someone other than the Jesus Christ of the Bible, who came from a virgin, who gave his life, who died, and on the third day was raised again, if they try to get you to God through any other method, walk away. In fact, Paul said it this way. If you hear me preaching any other Jesus, you don't need to listen to me no more.
Yeah.
Amen?
Amen.
Let me say it this way. Don't you have so much love for a person?
Wow. You see.
Don't you be so afraid of hurting people's feelings that you allow falsehood to enter into your experience. Amen?
Amen.
Can I just go ahead and tell you the truth? You being nice ain't gonna win.
That's right.
You being nice ain't gonna change.
That's right.
You acquiescing to whatever it is they woo-woo-woo-ing about, because that's, as Big and Drain would say, they read the 67th book. You know, he said that there are 66 books in the Bible. He said they in the 67th book. If they read from the 67th book, you can't change it. You need to stand firmly upon the truth of God's word and declare his word because you are walking with him. Psalm 1 says, this blessed is the man who does not walk in the counsel of the ungodly. Amen?
Amen.
That person meditates day and night upon God's word. They walk in his word. They are in fellowship with God through the truth of his word. Jesus is the only way.
Amen.
Jesus is the only way. If you want to walk with God, have fellowship, through fellowship and relationship, it must be through the person of Jesus Christ. Amen?
Amen.
So first we walk in fellowship with God, the person of Jesus Christ. It means we acknowledge who Jesus is. We believe it. We confess it. We live upon it. Romans 10, verses 9 and 10 says that the one who confesses with his mouth that Jesus is Lord and believes in his heart that God raised him from the dead, that individual shall be saved. What that means is that individual shall be in right relationship with God. That individual shall have their sins forgiven. Why? For the blood of Jesus Christ washes away all of our sins. In him we have forgiveness of sins. So that person who acknowledges him will be in relationship with God because they have been made right. They have exchanged their garments of sin for righteousness. Why? Because Jesus became sin for us so that we might become the righteousness of God. That's in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse number 21. And then in verse number 17, it says this, that if any person is in Christ Jesus, you are what? A new creation.
Yes.
Which leads us to point number two. Walking with God helps you then walk in your true identity. Amen?
Yes.
Amen. That's important. Because we're right now in a place where identity is confused. We walk in our true identity, and let me add to that, our true worth. We come to understand who we are. When you're walking with God, you start to discover that God loves you. Why? Because he created you. You start understanding that God loves you. Why? Because while you were yet in the womb, he knew you. You start realizing when you walk with God that God loves you and that you are not a mistake. Amen? You start walking with God and you start realizing that God knew you before you knew him. Amen? You start realizing that, wait a minute, God started this thing. And if God started this thing, he's also going to finish this thing. And it brings to you a certain peace that allows you to go through stuff in life where people try to destroy you, where Satan tries to destroy you through the hands and works of people. And so when you're walking with God, what happens is you can take the troubles of life and you can filter them through the person of God so that what they tried to do to you won't destroy you. Oh, y'all got to get excited with me. Maybe you've never had something happen in your life where folks have tried to diminish who you are, where they've tried to tear you down, where they've tried to ruin you, where they've tried to upset what God put in you. But if you've ever been through that, it's good to know that everything they try, God will use it to your benefit because he takes everything and works it together for the good of those who love him and who have been called according to his purposes.
Yes, yes.
So it matters not what has come against you. And can I just go ahead and tell you, there's some evil folk operating in the world.
Oh, yes. Oh, yes.
Amen.
Amen.
And just because you and I are walking with God and in a relationship with God, it does not isolate us from the evil that people try to perpetrate. And what you discover is that while I'm walking with God, even though the evil may have come, God brought me through. And the only way I get through is if I keep walking with him.
Keep walking with him.
If I make the mistake of allowing the thing that hit me to stop me and paralyze me, all of a sudden it has made me captive. But if I choose to keep walking with him, what that thing trying to hold on to me, what is it doing? It ain't doing nothing but making me stronger.
Yeah.
Isn't that what weight does?
Yeah.
When you got a weight that you're dragging, that God hasn't released, all he's doing is using it to make you stronger. All he's doing is helping you become victorious. So that when you start walking out of that thing, now you're going to meet other folks out of that thing. You conquered it. Why? It wasn't because you were all of that in a bag of chips. It's because you were walking with God.
Right.
You would not let him go. You had a Jacob mentality. I'm not going to let you go until you bless me. blessed me, I'm going to keep on holding on, because there's more of that. There's some more of that. I want some more. I'm not going to let you bless me and then let you go. That's called crazy. To be blessed of the Lord and then let him go? No, he got more. Stay there and get it all, right? And so when you're walking with God, he helps you then to understand your true worth, your true value, and your true identity. Why? Because as the Creator, he knows you. When you walk with God, as Sister Diane said, you don't mind me using you again. Like she had a choice. No, don't use you. It says, how can two walk together unless they agree? Amos 3:3, that question is asked. So when you're walking with God and you're fellowshipping with God, sitting down and you're dialoguing with God, and you're talking with God, because he knows you, he is able to then share with you truths about you that you don't yet know. Amen?
Amen.
And what he does is he removes the veil that the enemy has tried to put over your eyes to confuse you about who you are. A veil that the enemy is trying to put over your eyes through people.
Yep.
Amen?
Amen. Amen.
And can
Amen.
I just tell you, they start early?
Yes.
They start early. Sister Benita, when she was a little bitty person, I want to say in like the first grade or so, had a school teacher that was absolutely mean and treated her in the worst kind of way. She wasn't like Minister Diane or like Deaconess Robinson. You know, when they go into their classroom, they are sowing life into their children. This teacher wasn't like Chaplain Brown, who when she's in the office and dealing with kids, she's sowing life into the kids. No, this teacher that Sister Manita had was one who tried to take life from her. Instead of encouraging her and building her up, she had nasty words for her. And it left Sister Manita with that feeling of, what's wrong with me? Right?
Amen.
And so you got people that start early trying to impact your life. And we know this to be the truth. Words hurt, don't they?
Yes.
Sticks and stones may break my bones, but words. They need to go and erase that pain and stop using that, right?
Yes.
You and I know that words hurt. Words
yes.
spoken to children
yes.
stay with them for a lifetime.
Yes.
They're trying to wrestle through this idea of whether or not that person who was in authority,
yes.
who was supposed to be sowing into their life
yes.
when they spoke those things, were
yes.
those things true? Because words have a way
yes.
of hurting. In fact, the proverb says this, there's power in the tongue, right?
Yes.
The power of life and death,
yes.
right? When you're not using your tongue to build up, but to tear down, that's death. You and I have not been called to tear down, we've been called to build up. And what walking with God does is it helps us then to know our true identity, because there are some lies that have been told
yes.
to us along the way that the Word of God corrects and
yes.
makes straight. Amen?
Amen?
You know, lies like this. You ain't worth nothing. You ain't
yes.
you ain't gonna never amount to anything.
Yep.
Who are you to tell me what I'm worth and what I'm going to do? If you walk with God, what God will tell you is that you have been fearfully and wonderfully made. Now, here's the thing. You've got to receive it and embrace it.
Yes, yes.
Can I encourage
yes.
you to do me a favor? Stop arguing with God about who he has said you are. And simply start receiving it, accepting it, and walking in.
Yeah.
Start saying this. God, if you said it, I believe it.
Yeah.
I'm going to walk in it and let you prove it.
Yeah.
Amen?
Amen.
Stop reading what his word says and discounting his word because it hasn't become your experience yet. Allow that seed that is planted in your heart to begin to germinate and grow. And if you receive that seed that has been planted in your heart and you begin to water it as you walk with him, what God will allow to happen is the truth of that word to blossom in your life.
Yeah.
And what you will discover is that God watches over his word to perform it, that God never sends his word and it returns to him empty or void, but God's word always accomplishes what it was meant to accomplish it. But you gotta embrace it and walk in it. It said in Hebrews 11, verse 5, that it was by faith that Enoch walked with God. Your and my walk is no different. It is by faith that we walk with God. It is by faith that we accept what he has said about us. It is by faith that we practice what he has said. It is by faith that we live out what he has revealed to us about who we are. So we walk with him in fellowship. And when we walk with him, we allow him to establish for us our true worth and our identity.
Yes.
And this is accomplished then by walking in his word. Amen?
Amen.
You walk with God by walking in his word. Why? Because God's word is his revelation to you and to me. His written word gives us a broad, sometimes, description of what God has done. And when you begin to go into his written word, what you discover is that Hebrews chapter 4, verse 12 is really true. God's word is alive and it is active. And that it is sharper than any two-edged sword, and it is able to separate not just joint and marrow, but it also separates the spirit, the soul, and it exposes the attitude of your heart. And so God's word, as you read it, it becomes alive. And it begins to work upon you, and it brings about change in your life. And so then you have to walk in his word, the revelation of his truth. You've got to walk in it, but when you walk in it, there is power in the walking of his word. Amen.
Amen.
You have, wait, that means I got to read his word. Yes. Yes, you do. And if your eyes have gone bad, can you just give thanks to God for the technology that we have received? So that all of a sudden now, I don't have to read it myself. I got somebody that will read it for me. Can you just thank God for technology that says that all I got to do is press a button on my phone and it'll go to the place where I need it to go to and start reading to me?
Amen.
In other words, it ain't no excuse.
That's right.
No excuse, right? But here's the thing, you got to get into his word. You got to read his word. And you got to allow his word. You got to receive his word.
Yes.
So now, can I employ upon you? I need you to do something else. If we're talking about walking with God. I need you to thirst and hunger after his word. He says that those who thirst and hunger after righteousness will be filled. I need you to chase hard after his word. Hey, can I get you to do me a favor? Can I get you to you know those shows that we sometimes get caught up in? Whether it's on Netflix, whether it's on Prime, whether it's on, you know, all those streaming, Disney, whatever it is that has a way of eating up your time. Can I get you to replace some of that with the word of God? Can I make a recommendation? I'm go ahead. I'm gonna make the recommendation. Can you go ahead and just start making a little room early in the morning to start spending time eating at his table? Can I impart upon you that if you want to walk with God, means that you've also got to walk in His Word, that you've got to make time for it. Now, for some of us, what that means is that I've got to go to bed a little bit earlier if I'm going to leave time to kind of get into His Word, to read His Word, digest His Word before I start my day. Let me make it a priority and say, I'm going to give you the first. You know how it is. You open up your eyes and you realize that, you know what, it's a new day. It's time to get up and you start to give thanks unto the Lord for this new day that He has given. You know how you said, this is the day that the Lord has made. I will rejoice in you. That is the way you wake up, right?
Amen.
And that's the way you wake up. Oh, we're in the truth zone. We got to tell the truth. That's the way I want to wake up, but I don't always do it, right? So then maybe we should start practicing that so that it becomes a habit. When my eyes pop open and I start having that alertness and I realize that it's time to get up, that I begin it with, this is the day that the Lord has made. I shall rejoice and be glad in it. I begin with, thank you, God, for this day that you've given me. May I honor you in it as you give me the strength to do it. I just began thanking Him for what He has done. In fact, you know what? You don't even have to get out of bed. It can start when you're in bed. When your eyes pop open, oh, thank you, God. When you recognize that you're able to distinguish light from darkness, you go and say, God, thank you, I can see this morning. Oh, and when you start hearing stuff in your house, whether it's the refrigerator that's running, see, I'm hitting stuff. Oh, God, thank you. Thank you that I can hear this morning. But wait a minute, I'm not just hearing anything. My electricity is on. I'm glowing. Woo! And right there, you just start praising Him and worshiping Him for the revelation of what's going on in you. And when you start wiggling your toes and you start seeing that everything is moving, oh, thank you. Yes. Hallelujah. If your bladder is full, just say thank you, Lord. Thank you. So you begin with thanksgiving because you're walking with God. And in all things, you are to give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus. And so you start making it a habit. You start making it a lifestyle. You start moving yourself into that posture, into that place of where from the moment He opens your eyes, you are starting then to walk with Him. So now you're realizing that your walk is not just the idea of me moving, but it's as I breathe. I'm living my life in fellowship with Him. That's what it means to walk with God. To live my life in fellowship with Him. Recognize that He is my all. And I do it through these different vehicles and these mechanisms that we're talking about. The Word, and then of course, prayer. I can't leave that out, right? That's the essential component of walking with God. It's an essential component of living in fellowship with God, is that you have a life of prayer. It means that you are able to talk to God. You are able to receive from Him by laying the burdens of your heart at His feet, but also by receiving His instructions. Here's the difference between reading God's Word and prayer, when you think about it. And they actually go together. It's almost hard to separate them because reading God's Word leads you to prayer. Praying leads you to God's Word. They kind of work hand in hand. Because sometimes in the praying, God has you praying about a specific thing that then will take you, because you need clarity to go to the Word of God about what God has said about that particular thing that you have just prayed about. Sometimes reading the Word reveals to you something that you need to either change in your life, to implement in your life, or that you need to embrace. And what that does is when you realize that, it takes you to prayer. And so you start to pray the very thing that you have just read, because you need God to do that for you in your life. They almost become interchangeable. But then Paul also says that you are to pray without ceasing, which means that you have an attitude, a posture of prayer all day long.
Yes.
All day long. With every breath that you take, it's an attitude, it's a posture. Why? Because you are walking with God. You're living in fellowship with Him because you belong to Him and you need His presence in your life. If He were to abandon you and me, there would be no hope for us. It's the realization that I need you. Amen?
Amen.
So you're walking in the Word, you're walking in prayer. Then I'll stop with this one. You're walking in love. Why? Because what? God is love. If you and I are to walk with God, we've got to be walking in love. You choose and refuse to walk in love. Remember, God does not change His standard. When you choose to not walk in love, then what you're saying is, God, no, you go ahead. I can't walk with you on this one. It's almost like as you're walking the path, the journey, you get to that why. When you have a choice to go right or to go left. To go according to God's principle, God's standard, God's way of doing things, or to go according to your own thinking. Well, you know what Proverbs chapter 3, verses 3 and 5 says, right? Trust in the Lord with all your heart and do not lean to your own understanding. What that means is this, is when your understanding doesn't agree with God's understanding, let your understanding go.
Yes.
Amen.
Amen.
What that means is that when your opinion disagrees with God's revealed truth, what you got to do is change your opinion because you're not going to get God to change His.
All right.
Amen. And so it's the idea of, oh, whenever I get that to that fork in the road, that crisis where I'm wrestling and where I'm struggling, but you don't have to struggle. Okay? Don't make the struggle trying to decide whether or not to go with God or to go with your opinion. That shouldn't be the struggle. That's not where the struggle should be. The struggle is going to be tough enough when you try to walk in God's way, living in this world. The struggle is going to be tough enough. You ought to be ready to let it go. Say, God, my bad. I had the wrong opinion about that. Thank you for correcting me. And now I shall walk in your direction and do so in love. And so if God is about love, that's what it is, right? Walk in love. God is love. God showed us His love. When He showed us His love, while we were yet still sinners. That means that you can't wait for folk to get right before you love
them.
God didn't wait on you to get right before He loved you. Amen? That means that your love has to be beyond their ability to do right. Because I can assure you of this, they might do right today and something to do wrong tomorrow. What you love doing? Keep turning your love off and on? Well, if you're doing that, it's because you think love is about a feeling.
Yeah.
Love really is about a feeling. Yeah, there are feelings that come with it, but love really isn't about a feeling. Love is actually about action. There are things that you do to demonstrate your love for people. Many times that's born out of sacrifice. And can I just tell you, they don't always know how much you love them because they don't always know the degree of your sacrifice.
Right.
And you can tell they don't know the degree of your sacrifice by their lack of appreciation for what you've done. You may have taken your last and given it to them, and they take it and run off with it. And like, you know what? You should have gave it to me.
Yeah.
Call yourself a Christian. Amen. And so love is demonstrated by sacrifice, is demonstrated by action. And that means that you and I, when we walk in love, We're going to sometimes do some things that we don't feel like doing.
Yeah.
Amen.
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 And if you're walking with God, he's going to give you the power to do what needs to be done because you're carrying it out for his will and for his good pleasure.
Lord.
Amen. Amen. And when you do that, he empowers you to be able to do what you could not do naturally and in your own human strength. And he shows you what love looks like. He doesn't allow us to rest on our own idea of what love looks like. He says, this is what love looks like. And then he describes to you and me the attributes of love. And if that fruit isn't showing up in your life, with that, within that relationship or those relationships, then you got to question whether or not you really love it. And here's the good news. When you question it and you discover that you may be falling short, he gives you the strength to love the way you need to be loved. Amen? Oh, I'm sorry. I got excited. This is
insane.
Hallelujah. Amen. All things. All things. When you and I walk in love, it gives God the opportunity to work miracles in the lives of people. Gives them the opportunity to move on their behalf because God has said that he will use me, you and me, as vehicles of his power. You do know that, right? Walking with God sets you up to be a blessing in somebody's life. Oh, y'all ain't getting excited, man. Somebody needs a healer. Walking with God helps you to go. Ooh, y'all don't believe it. See, that's the problem right there. You don't believe that God has called you to be a blessing in somebody's life. You don't feel like you are worthy to be able to go and lay your hands on somebody and invoke the name of Jesus Christ and his power show up in their lives. It's because you got your mind fixed on you. No, when you walk with God, you get lost in him. You start forgetting about yourself. Oh, that was a song you sang earlier, wasn't it? So forget about yourself. You start forgetting about yourself when you start walking with God. Because he becomes bigger than anything you could ever imagine. You start to believe that God can do what he said he can do. And if he can use a donkey to talk to Balaam, surely he can use me to call on the name of Jesus and work miracles in the lives of people. I've got to be more valuable than a donkey. Really? God has called you, redeemed you, sanctified you to be a blessing in somebody's life. And the only way that you can do that is to stop walking in yourself. Stop being caught up with you and start focusing on him. And start saying, here I am. I belong to you. Use me the way you want to use me so that your name can be glorified. Wait a minute. You got all out of the picture. Ain't nobody trying to give you praise now. That's right. That's right. Ain't nobody celebrating you. I'm sorry. Don't get offended. It's all about exalting the name of Jesus. Amen. Amen.
Amen. Amen.
Pastor Savage, you mind if I use you? Praise God. You see, I'm trying to get permission. Pastor Savage illustrated this beautifully when he ministered a few weeks ago. He started talking about how the Spirit of God was dropping stuff on him. He was sitting in his office, and his pen or his fingers were moving so fast, he couldn't keep up with everything that was coming. He said, oh, yeah, this is good. This is going to be off the chain. because he's walking with God, the Spirit of the living God said, now, boy, you better acknowledge where they came from. Amen. He said the Spirit of God began to say to him, this really ain't about you. Right? I'm dropping this on you because you have surrendered yourself to be a servant to me, and I have chosen then to use you in the place that you are operating. And I'm going to give you this. I'm going to give you this revelation that you would not have had if you were not doing what you were supposed to be doing because you've chosen to be faithful. That was a mouthful. You may have missed it. Some of y'all want revelation from God, but you won't operate where God wants you to be. And you won't keep walking around in circles until you get to where God wants you to be. Amen?
Amen.
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 And he's walking with God, and God begins to reveal and to speak and to remind him that it's all about exalting Jesus. Brothers and sisters, that you and I walk with God. We walk with the Lord through the person of Jesus Christ. What we would discover is that God has created us with incredible purpose. He did not call us and save us for us to sit on it. He called us and saved us because he welcomed us into the ministry of reconciliation. He called us to be ambassadors of his love. He called us to be instruments and vessels to be used of him. He empowered us with his Spirit so that we could then carry forth the love of Jesus Christ, so that we could chase out the darkness and bring the light, so that men and women who have been locked up and bound up by the chains of the enemy can be set free. When you and I walk with God, we discover that with his mouth, with his word in our mouth, we can speak and call things that were not as though they were, and they will begin to appear, that we can go and we can break chains and we can bring about restoration in the lives of people. When you and I walk with him, we will discover that he has called us to be his hands and feet, that we are to go about doing the work of Jesus, because he said, greater works will you do because you have trusted in me. Amen.
Yeah.
Ah, but we gotta walk with him.
Yeah.
Amen.
Amen.
We got to walk with him. Surrender our lives and make his purpose is a priority in our lives, to say to ourselves, I belong to you. You are free to use me however you want to use me. You are free to reorder my life however you want to reorder my life. Here I am. I belong to you. Let me walk with you. Let me share this scripture with you as I close, because it speaks to the power of walking with God. It's in Isaiah chapter 55, I think it's, excuse me, chapter 56. And I just want to read the scripture, and then I'm going to pray for us even as we prepare to commune together, because it gives for you and me beautiful picture of the reward that God offers to those who walk with him, who are bound to him. In Isaiah 56, verse 3, it says, let no foreigner who has bound himself to the Lord say, the Lord will surely exclude me from his people. And let not any eunuch complain, I am only a dry tree. The eunuch was an individual that was not able, as you know, to bear children. Some, that act was performed by others, making them eunuchs, so that they were not able to produce. So God has said, let no eunuch complain, I am only a dry tree, not the ability to reproduce. Look at verse 4. For this is what the Lord says to the eunuchs who keep my Sabbath, who choose what pleases me, and hold fast to my covenant. To them I will give within my temple and its walls a memorial and a name better than sons and daughters. I will give them an everlasting name that will not be cut off. And foreigners
who bind themselves to the Lord, to serve Him, to love the name of the Lord, and to worship Him, all who keep the Sabbath without desecrating it, and who hold fast to my covenant, these I will bring to my holy mountain and give them joy in my house of prayer. Their burnt offerings and sacrifices will be accepted on my altar, for my house will be called a house of prayer for all nations. And the sovereign Lord declares, He who gathers the exiles of Israel, He says, I will gather still others to them besides those already gathered. God simply said this, I don't care if you're a human. If you yoke up with me, you're going to be blessed.
Yeah.
So I don't care if you call yourself a foreigner. If you yoked up with me and you maintain my covenant, and if you walk with me and you keep the Sabbath, if you will, holy, and you do the things that I deem important, He says, I'm going to bless you. He simply says this, if you walk with me, trust me, you won't be disappointed, because the reward system far outweighs anything that you can imagine. So brothers and sisters, I implore you, I encourage you, walk with God. Walk with God. Amen.
Amen.
Father, here we are today. We thank you that you are faithful and true. That you protect your word, you honor your word, and you honor your name. That all who walk with you, who put their hope, their trust in you, will not be put to shame. Father, I pray, Lord, that you will release your spirit afresh and new in our lives. Those who have been walking but have become weary, you give them new strength. You have declared that, Father, that those who hope in you, they will, God, renew their strength. Will you give them new strength so that they become not weary and well-doing? Father, there are those among us who have become distracted, God. Seems as though they were walking with you and doing well, but they became distracted. We appeal to you in the name of Jesus Christ, and by your Spirit, draw them back unto you. That, Lord, you become the priority. Lord, the thing that has distracted them would be put in its proper place. And God, you would receive priority, God, in their lives. They will walk with you without hindrance. Then, Father, there may even be one among us who desires to walk with you, but has not yet entered through the curtain of Jesus Christ. Thank you for your word that declares that all they need to do is confess that He is Lord, to speak it out of their mouths, that He is Lord, that Jesus is Lord, to believe in their hearts that God raised Him from the dead. After He died and He took the sins of all mankind, that you did not let death conquer Him, but He conquered the grave. You raised Him from the dead. You said that, God, if that person will confess with their mouth and believe in their heart, that God, you will welcome them into your family. So, Father, we pray that, Lord, if there is one among us today, the veil would be removed, that they would be able to see the truth, that there would be a willingness for them to open their mouths and to proclaim Jesus as a Savior and a Redeemer and as a risen King. They would believe it, God, in their hearts. We appeal to you. Help us to walk with you the way that Enoch walked with you. And by faith to be a people that please you, because we walk in agreement with you. We walk in obedience to what your word declares. And we walk, Father, in faith to your call upon our lives. We thank you in the precious and majestic name of Jesus Christ.